The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. We welcome you to the broadcast today. It is Monday, and it is the 15th of March. We're giving everybody just a moment again here on Facebook Live to hop on to the broadcast. And if you're new to the broadcast, we welcome you here today, and we want to hear from you. We would like to know where you guys are joining us from. And again, if you're new, let us know below right there on Facebook Live under the comments section, or perhaps on YouTube, again, where you're joining us from and that you are new indeed, so that we can acknowledge that. At this time, I'd like to welcome our podcast audience and everyone else who will be watching or listening to this broadcast today. I want to be dealing with a particular subject on four pillars that every believer needs in their life to maintain a strong foundation to withstand storms in this life. That's what we're going to talk about today. So very practical teaching today. In fact, this is so practical that it will probably offend a lot of the people who like the deep, deep revelation. And I've harped on this for a long time. And the one thing I've noticed in the body of Christ for years now is there's a lot of people that like deep revelation, and they like to hear all these, they like all the knowledge and the information, especially when it comes to end times, because I realize that the preface of our ministry is end time related. And a lot of people, when it regards to end times, they want every teaching available. They want all the information that they can have on who the Antichrist is, who the false prophet is, the signs of the coming of the Lord, all these things. But, and that's fine. And I'm not neglecting those things. I think we should be educating ourselves, informing ourselves. In fact, you know, the sons of Issachar were knowledgeable on these. They understood the times and the seasons which we're in. But listen to me, what good is to know all these things, but yet we have a foundation in our walk with God that's based on sinking sand? So having said that, let's get into this. Four pillars. What is a pillar? A pillar can be likened into a column. When you see a lot of times you'll see a nice home or a nice building or a place that a structure, and you'll see these columns or these pillars that are there as support beams. They help support the weight. They uphold the weight. Come on, somebody. They uphold the structure. So again, you can have a beautiful structure. You can have a beautiful home. You can have a beautiful exterior or building or display, if you would. But if there is no foundation, if there is no strong support system that will withhold the weight of, come on, the weight, then it will collapse. So Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Listen what this says. Jesus speaking here. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, and he's referring to his word. He's speaking the Beatitudes. He's given the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking parables. He's given them life lessons. And he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So we see Jesus teaching these principles. And he says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them or applies these words, I will liken him unto a wise man, listen to this, who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. I want to say it again. I want to tell everybody listening today, watching today by Facebook, by YouTube, by podcast. Listen, I don't care if you've been in this thing 5 months, 5 years, or 50 years. Here's the one thing that you need to know, and that is either you're about to experience rain, floods, and winds, or you have experienced it, or you're experiencing it now. Because storms are inevitable. They're going to come, they're going to go, we're going to go through them. And how, whether or not we have this foundation built, will determine what it's going to look like when we come out on the other side. So listen to this. He says, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall. Listen to this. For it was founded on the rock. Now, who is the rock? Of course, it's Jesus. Now, look, I could have made this real simple today and say, well, if our house is built upon the rock, you know, this is one of those easy, simple, simplistic devotionals to say, you know, you got to build your house upon the rock and lay it upon Jesus, and everything will stand. Well, listen, again, there's a lot of people out there that call themselves Christians, call themselves believers, call themselves disciples, call themselves followers of Jesus. And they will say they put their trust in Jesus, put their faith in Jesus, and they have built their life upon the rock. But then, listen to me, but all of a sudden, when the storms come, the rain comes, the flood comes, the wind comes, all of a sudden, you can't find them in church anymore. You can't find them serving God anymore. Come on, they've given up on serving God with their money. They've given up on serving God with their family. They've given up on gathering together with other believers. All of a sudden, you can't find them. And then you discover they've backslid. You've discovered they've gone back to their old life. You discovered they started drinking again. They started doing drugs again. They started going back to the old clique and the old crowds again. They've fallen to that sin that they were delivered out of. What happened? Watch this. I thought they were a Christian. I thought they were a believer. I thought they had their house built upon the rock. Well, here's the problem. There's more to this thing, guys. Listen, going to an altar and saying yes to Jesus is the beginning. That gets us in the door. But there's more to it than just saying yes to Jesus one time at an altar call, in a service, come on, at a conference, at a crusade, on your couch, in your living room, whatever. When you say yes to Jesus, that's good. Praise God, and we thank God for that. And if you truly accepted him, you're born again. But then what? What do we do after that? That's what I'm teaching today. I'm telling you, the body of Christ needs these simplistic elementary principles. Because I'm tired of, listen, we're seeing this over and over again. Believers just falling by the wayside. Just bam, every week, such and such got a divorce. Such and such lost out. Such and such went back to drugs, such and such is no longer in the house of God anymore. They can't be found. They turned away from God. I'm telling you guys, we've got to get, now let me finish the rest of this. But verse 26 of Matthew 7, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Again, notice here, look, the rains are going to come, the floods are going to come, and the winds are going to come. You're not going to escape it. So you're going to need to make up your mind whether you're going to have a sandy foundation or a solid foundation today. And that choice, whatever decision you make, is going to determine the outcome of how you end up on the other side of the rain, the floods, and the wind. Listen what he says. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So that brings me to number one. The first pillar that we need is the word of God. You would be shocked at how many people, again, profess God, profess Christianity, say they're born again, but they never read their Bible. And it is quite evident week after week when headlines come out and stories come out and things happen, you can really determine who is in the Word and who's not in the Word. Come on, who has the Word in their heart and who does not have the Word in their heart. David said, I will hide the Word of the Lord in my heart that I may not sin against thee. You know, one of the benefits of hiding the Word of the Lord in your heart is if the day should come that they ban Bibles and take away the Word, if you have the Word in you, come on, then it's already engraved in your heart and in your spirit. Why do you think Joshua said by inspiration of the Lord, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night and observe to do all that's written therein. David said in the book of Psalms, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he delights in it day and night. Guys, the first pillar is the Word of the Lord. We've got to open that. Now listen, you say, well, Brother Ricky, I would love to get in the Word of God, but I'm just not a reader. I don't like reading. I can't read. I have a hard time reading. I can't comprehend it. I fall asleep, this, that. Listen, then go get an audio version of the Bible. Again, I'm skeptical. There's some translations of the Bible I don't really like to recommend, but listen, I always say, you need to get a translation that you're going to understand. You need to get a translation that you're going to read. What good is it to get a translation that you can't comprehend and you can't read it? Because if you do that, then the devil's going to come and just steal the Word right out of your heart. So you need to get you a translation of the Bible that you can, that is, that lines up with the original translation. Research that all yourself. As long as it lines up or kind of, you know, kind of hinges off the closest thing to the original Hebrew in the Old Testament and the original Greek in the New Testament, then you're fine. But again, if you start reading or trying to study a translation that you can't make heads or tails out of, you can't pronounce words, you're wasting time because the enemy's going to come and snatch it right out of your heart. All right, so the number one pillar is get in the Word. All right. That's going to be a strong foundation, a strong pillar of building a foundation in your life. Number two, ready? Here it is. Matthew chapter 6. Somebody's going to get mad on this one because I already see it in the thread right here. Because anytime you start talking about this, people get angry and they get mad. But no, I'm going to talk about it in just a second. Listen to this. Number two, take heed. This is in Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds, or in modern vernacular, it's take heed that you do not give to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do give, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. And surely I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do give, notice it says when you give, not if you give. I said when you give. Let me make some people mad right here. And listen, you can hit the unfollow button. You can hit the unsubscribe button because it ain't going to offend me at all. Because I never, listen, I didn't get into this thing for followers. I didn't get into this thing for groupies or for fan clubs or to be on the top of TikTok or Twitter or Facebook. I did this because God called me to do this. So let's just get that real straight. But there is three mandates, and these are the other three pillars, by the way. One of them is read the Word of God. Here's the other three, and they're all found in Matthew 6, and we're talking about the second one right now. And it's the pillar of giving. Listen, you may get mad, you might get offended, but one of the earmarks of a strong, mature, stable believer is a believer who knows and understands the principle of giving. They've made a covenant with God in their finances. Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. So listen, if you are a slave to mammon or money, then this foundation, or this pillar rather, is going to be a pillar of offense to you. It's going to be an offense to you. Why? Because your treasure is in earthen things. Your treasure is in earthly things. But you show me a man or a woman of God who understands making a covenant with God in their finances and giving and honoring the Lord. Listen to this. Did you know that giving is a form of worship? When you give unto the Lord in secret, not to be seen by men, you are actually honoring the Lord in worship, in a form of worship, by honoring him in giving. And again, Jesus said, when you give, not if you give. Let me say it a little bit louder for the back row. When you give, not if you give, not if you decide to, or I know Jesus said this, but I'm going to do my own thing. No, he says, when you give. This is the second strong pillar, is giving. Listen, I contribute the blessings of the Lord that God has bestowed upon my family and I, the success of our ministry, the success of my wife's career, and all the other blessings that I can't even articulate in words. And it's not just financial blessings, but I'm talking about times that God has protected us, God has restored us, God has reconciled us, God has brought supernatural blessings. I believe, listen, not just my covenant with him, as in saying yes to him and being born again, come on, unto the Lord and into his kingdom, but also Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. And in that context of Matthew chapter 6, all these things are clothing, it's food, it's drink, it's necessity, it's these things that we need in life. And I'm telling you, I will never apologize for God's blessings. And it's because we have honored the Lord with our tithes. And I don't believe in tithing. Then again, do you not believe in tithing because some preacher has convinced you that tithing is not for today? Or is that something you've already made up in your heart? Listen, I did an extensive, exhaustive research on the area of tithing. I'm talking exhaustive research. And I've come to the conclusion that not only did tithing continue in the New Testament, I believe personally, but I believe that God will honor it. Listen, let's just stop for a second and talk about this. Let's just say hypothetically that tithing is not for today. Let's just say hypothetically, do you honestly believe that God is going to look down upon you if you made a covenant as Jacob did and say, I vow to honor you with a tenth of all my increase? Do you actually believe God is going to shun you, curse you, neglect you, and look down on you because you made a purpose in your heart to honor him with the first fruits of your increase? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. In fact, I believe the opposite. I believe God will see your heart and see the intent of your heart, and he will open, come on, the treasures of heaven over your life and bless you to be the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. And I know somebody's, I knew he was going to talk about money. Listen, Jesus talked about money. He said, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. It's there. So, again, I believe personally the area of giving and receiving, tithing, offerings, the whole nine yards there, the area of giving, this pillar of giving, I believe this is elementary, guys. If we can't get beyond giving, then how are we ever going to get the more deeper things of God? How are we ever going to get that? So I don't wrestle with that anymore. Listen, I remember the first day that I ever made a covenant with God in tithing. I remember we didn't have anything. We were about to lose everything. We had maybe we had like $10 to our name, and we didn't know how we was going to get our next meal. We didn't know how any of this. And I stepped out because I read in the Word of God about giving and honoring the Lord. We stepped out, my wife and I stepped out in faith. And I'm telling you, God supernaturally came through. We sold our last $10 that we had. God supernaturally came through and blessed us four times the amount that we sold. And that was the day, I marked that day, that I would not doubt him on the area of tithing and giving. And since then, for 21 years now, my wife and I, our family has honored the Lord with our tithes, with our offerings, and has blessed his kingdom. And you know what? He has done exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. Let's move on, because some people are their blood pressure is just boiling over because we actually discussed money, and you know, that's taboo. We can't talk about that. So let's talk about number three. Let's talk about number three. Now, this one is probably even more offensive than giving and money. Ready? Fasting. That fasting. Oh my gosh. You mean we're supposed to fast today? Yes. Listen to this. Ready? Let me get down here. Moreover, when you fast, not if, when. See, you know why people are getting so offended about this? Because no one preaches this stuff anymore. We get up and we preach a lot of humanism and nonsense that's not even biblical. How to be a success, how to have your name in the lights, how to have the biggest ministry, how to have your best life now, how every day can be a certain day of the week, and how you can drive a Rolls Royce and a Lamborghini, and you don't have to keep up with the Joneses, you can be the Joneses. You know, we teach all this ridiculous stuff in the body of Christ, and no one's teaching on the elementary fundamental principles of God, and therefore there's no foundation that they have on, so that when the rain comes and the flood comes and the winds come, they are gone. They've been blown by every wind of doctrine that comes along. You don't find them in the church anymore. You don't find them faithful anymore. You don't find them anywhere anymore. So moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who sees in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Listen, you may not like fasting. Who does? I don't. I don't like fat. No, nobody likes to neglect their flesh from eating. And by the way, let me tell you what fasting is not, and then let me tell you what fasting is. Let's talk about what fasting is not. Fasting is not turning off the television. Fasting is not disabling your Facebook account. Fasting is not deleting your TikTok app for 30 days. Fasting is not deciding not to gossip for 21 days. That is not fasting. That's abstinence. I'm tired of the foolishness that's being preached in the body of Christ. The word fast actually comes from the root word to shut the mouth. Read it. Go open. I know this is going to be crazy, but open your Bible and actually read the Old Testament accounts of fasting. Read the New Testament accounts of fasting. There's two types of fast. There's corporate fasting and there's private fasting. That's a whole argument too. People getting all these arguments. Anytime a pastor calls for a corporate time of fasting, people get mad, they get flustered. Well, you know, Jesus said to do our fasting in secret. We're not to tell people we're fasting. Well, dummy, that's a private fast. A corporate fast in the Old Testament They called a solemn assembly and they called the whole people and the nation to a fast. So therefore, it wasn't very private when it's a corporate fast and everybody's involved. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to teach you today something. So, but if you're not in a corporate fast and you feel led by the Holy Spirit and your own walk with God to go on a personal fast, then at that point, you don't need to go on Facebook. Hey guys, I'm fasting today. So, I don't want to talk about food, or I can't go eat with all my buddies after work today, or I can't do this. No, that's that right here in Matthew 6, he's talking about private, personal fast, not corporate fast. But there's corporate fast. There's times when your whole church may go on a full 21 days or 3 days or 7 days. Some even go as 40-day fast. If the pastor calls the whole church to do that, then that's something that's not so much private, but it's, come on, it's a corporate fast. So there's a difference here. But again, what fasting is not, it is not, oh, I tell you, I'm going to go on a fast today, Brother Ricky. I'm going to just get off Facebook for 21 days, but I'm going to eat whatever I want, and I'm going to just feed my face, whatever. That's not a fast. And I'm telling you, these progressive churches, they hate preachers like me because they don't like it. They don't like preachers preaching to them the Bible. We've watered down everything to the point where it's so watered down that we've lost all effectiveness. And this is why Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And you want to know the context of that? In the Bible, they were trying to, there was a boy that was demon possessed. The disciples came along and tried to cast the devil out of this boy, and they could not do it. And they went to Jesus and said, why could we not cast a demon out of this young boy? And Jesus said, how, and he talked about their unbelief. And he said, howbeit this kind, what kind? Demon possession. Especially in this context. He said, howbeit this kind cometh not out. Leon, I'm going to get to that question. Leon just asked a question. Please give your opinion on a Daniel fast. I'm going to answer that question right after this. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Did you? So, in other words, listen, guys, there's some things that you and I cannot get victory over, breakthrough over, or deliverance over unless we pray and fast. Now, listen, do you really think that those disciples, when Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, if these disciples were part of some of these progressive churches that told them that fasting means that they just abstain from their Facebook for 21 days, do you really think the disciples got around Peter, James, and John? They said, hey, guys, you know, Jesus said that we can't cast out devils because they come not out but by prayer and fasting. So you know what? I'm going to go off of social media for about a week. Do you mind? I'm going to get off Twitter. I'm going to get off Snapchat or Facebook for 21 days. And then because I have gotten off of social media, then I can go and cast out those devils. Yeah. Okay. Come on, get serious, guys. That's not what that means. Okay. I mean, again, fasting, shut the mouth. You don't eat. Now you say, well, brother, I got diabetes. I've got health issues. Listen, then do what you can do. God will honor your heart. This is not legalism. Do what you can do. If that means you eat half of what you used to, then do that. If it means skip one meal a day, then don't eat for one meal a day, or don't eat after sundown, or don't eat before sundown. Do, come on, somebody say, do what you can do. But come on, it says when you fast. Now, Leon asked, what about the Daniel fast? What's your opinion on? Listen, oh, I'm going to make some people mad here. The Daniel fast is a modern term that we've coined and we have made up. When you go to he's referring to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Daniel made a purpose in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the delicacies and the wine of the king and of Babylon. So what did it say? They abstain from pleasantries and meat for 21 days. Listen, that was not a fast. They were simply eating a plant-based diet. If you want to be technical, they were eating a plant-based diet. They didn't eat meat. They didn't eat sweets. Listen, I live on a predominantly, I say predominantly, not a full, I'm not a full vegan or a Whole Foods plant-based. I'm not completely there. I still eat some types of fish here and there, and I will eat chicken, but I don't eat pork. I don't eat red meat. There's certain things I don't eat. So our family is predominantly plant-based. Again, study it, guys. This was not a fast. Now, when he dealt with the prince of Persia, when you read on, he went on a 21-day fast. Now, that is a fast. He didn't eat anything, water only. But those 10 days that he was tested, he went on a plant-based diet. He didn't eat the meat. He didn't drink the wine. He didn't eat pleasantries. He ate, it's in her Bible, read it. It's in Daniel chapter 1. He ate fruits and vegetables for 21 days and God honored. And you say, well, hold on. Now, brother, the Bible says that God, because he did this, his countenance was better than all. He had more wisdom. Yeah, there's benefits. There is great health benefits to eating a plant-based diet. Listen, guys, if you cut out the meat, you know how many, I don't want to get on this. You don't want me to get on this soapbox about most of the stuff that's killing church people is not sin per se, but it's not what is eating us, but what we're eating. A lot of the stuff, listen, we got a lot of church folks coming to the front of the church to get prayed for infirmities and sicknesses and diseases. And it's because what they're eating, because they're eating all kinds of stuff and devouring stuff, especially Americans, we're the worst. We're eating all this red meat. We're eating pork. We're eating crab and we're eating junk food and fast food and potato chips and processed foods and dairy foods and all this stuff. And again, it's killing us from the inside out. So there is great health. I don't want to get into all this because this is not a health seminar, but there's great benefits to just legitimately eating a plant-based diet. And this is what they did. So again, the modern church has come along and we've tried to put a new face on something and completely change it altogether to make it more acceptable to a new culture. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So again, did you know that we at one time we had one translation, but that wasn't good enough. So we had to make another translation, and then we had to make another translation, and then another one, and then another one. And now we've got what, hundreds, if not thousands of different translations. I mean, how many translations do we need of the Bible? And consequently, every translation has been translated to accommodate the next culture. So when my sons get older, if the Lord tarries, then there's going to be somebody kind of come along and my Lord help us all, but they're going to come along and they're going to make another translation of the Bible. And you can already guess in the culture that we're in with the cancel culture and with the woke moment and all this stuff that's happening, you can almost guarantee that there's going to be a whole lot taken out of the Bible that's in the Bible that's going to be removed so that it is accepted by all genders, preferences, cultures, and et cetera, and et cetera. It will be, by the time they strip this thing down and water it down, it will not offend anybody, but it will be all inclusive and everybody will make it to heaven. They'll probably take hell out. They'll probably take references to sin out. They'll take references to all that out of it. Watch. I hope I'm wrong, but I see this happening quickly. And it's already happening. So watch this recap. Number one pillar, read the word of God. Number two, make a covenant and giving to the Lord. That's between you and God. You may say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Listen, you're going to have to work out that. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, I could sit here and share 100 testimonies about what God has done in my life, but you've got to make up your own mind. As for me and my house, we're going to honor the Lord with our finances because we've seen that God is faithful and true. And in the Bible, in Malachi 3, it's the only place in the whole Bible that he says, try me herewith and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. And it's in absolute reference to honoring God in tithes and offerings. So I don't want to spend all day arguing on that. Number three pillar is fasting. Listen to me. You may not like fasting and you may not want to fast, but I'm going to tell you that you'll get to a place of desperation where you're going to need an answer. You're going to need a breakthrough. You're going to need a deliverance on something. And it's going to get to a point till you get to a breaking point where you're going to say, I'll do whatever it takes. And then if you have to, that's when you're going to fast. But the point is when you fast, and guys, I want to make it a habit. I want to make it a lifestyle. Can I preach to me for a second? Listen, y'all just listen to me. I'm going to preach to myself for a little bit. I don't want to have to wait to a corporate fast to go on a fast. I want to make a lifestyle of fasting. I want to make it to where I look forward to fasting because I'm neglecting my flesh and I'm expressing to the Lord, I am silencing my appetites and my flesh so that I can hear more clearly from heaven for direction in my life, for breakthrough and for my life and for the things that I'm seeking the Lord on. All right. So number four, guys, real quick, number four pillar is praying. In Matthew 6, it says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray and stand in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All right. So notice three of these four pillars I talked about today, praying, fasting, and giving. Jesus said in all three of these, he said, do them in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So this is good. You need to write this down. So all three of these done in secret have an open reward. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to say it again. All three of these, praying, fasting, and giving in Matthew 6, he says, if you'll do these in secret, your Father who sees in secret will hear in secret and will reward you openly. Do you know what reward you openly means? It means you, listen, you pray in your secret place. You're fasting in secret and you're giving in secret. Nobody knows. Nobody. The Bible says, don't let your left hand see what your right hand's giving. You don't make a point about, listen, you're not on the internet talking about it. You're not on social media talking about it. You're not talking about it to your buddy on the phone. You're doing all these things in secret. And the Bible says that God will see to it that he will reward you openly. Here's what that means. It's not, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, I said in due season, in due season, he will reward you. I've got two scriptures mixed up here. My brain just went, pfft. He says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, you shall reap. In well-doing, for in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. So notice he said, in due season, the reward's coming. In due season, come on, somebody say, in due season, the reward is coming. So the key is not giving up. It's not fainting. So come on, I want to tell somebody today, keep praying, keep fasting, keep giving, keep reading the word. I'm telling you, and when you do these four things, it's building a strong foundation. And here's where I want to end this thing right here. Watch this. Let me go back up to the original con. Listen what it says. Let me read you one last verse, and then I'm going to go back to Matthew 7. Psalms 11:3. It says, listen to this. This is Psalms 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me read that one more time. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Listen, I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of storms come your way. If you've got these four pillars as your foundation, listen to me, these four pillars as your foundation, it don't matter what kind of rain, flood, or wind comes. It could be a rain of trouble. It could be a flood of economic trouble. It could be a wind that comes against your marriage. It could be something against your health. It could be something against your ministry. It could be something against any of these avenues. But if you have these four pillars in place, I'm telling you, it may rattle your home. It may rattle your windows. It may pull a couple shingles off, but come on, the foundation will remain. I don't know about you, but let me just testify for a little bit. For 21 years, my wife and I has been through some storms. We've been through some marital storms. We've been through some storms with our kids. We've been through some storms with our finances. We've been through some storms with our health. We've been through some storms with some friends, with our ministry. Come on, with every avenue of our life, we've seen winds come, we've seen the rains come, and we've seen the floods come. But when it was all said and done, the clouds dissipated, it stopped raining, the floods depreciated. Come on, the wind stopped blowing and the sun was still shining and we came out on the other end. Why? Because we grounded and rooted ourselves in the word of God, hid the word of the Lord in our heart that we may not sin against him. Come on, we had a foundation of giving. Come on, and that strong foundation of giving and receiving. We had the foundation of praying. We had the foundation of fasting. And this is why, listen, guys, a picture of this is in Acts chapter 10. I remember the first day the Lord ever showed this to me. Some of our longtime partners, you guys, you should know this by now. You've heard me preach on this at least a dozen times. You've heard me talk about Cornelius, the first Gentile convert in Acts chapter 10. Guys, this guy is impressive because he has many of these principles in place for him. The Bible says he's a devout man. He prayed always. He feared God and he gave much. So he had these principles going for him. He had this strong foundation in God. And because he did this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said that all this went up before the Lord in heaven as a memorial. So listen, when the storms came in Cornelius's life, or when things begin to take place, when shaking began to take place, God did not forget Cornelius because he had a memorial built in heaven because he honored the Lord in these four principles. I know some of y'all are disappointed because we didn't give you some exuberant, extravagant revelation knowledge on the seven heads and 10 horns and the dragon and Revelation and the mark of the beast and all that stuff. People come, I'm telling you, there's some people, they don't want to hear anything else except for any kind of end time event. But here's, again, I'm telling you, mark the people that they only want to hear eschatology only. They don't want to hear fundamentals. They don't want to hear foundational. They don't want to hear elementary. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear any of that stuff. They're like the men of Athens. They're always looking for something to scratch their ears. A new revelation, a new teaching, some new knowledge that they want, but they have no foundation. Here's what you're going to notice about them. Mark my words, watch them, and you'll discover they will fall out. You will not see them in church. You won't hear from them. They'll be having all kinds of issues because the storms are going to come. And because they have not taken the time to establish these pillars and these foundations in their life, they will be building their house upon the sand, and great will be their fall. We don't want that, guys. So listen, I'm going to give you some information real quick on how you can keep up with our ministry. And then, as always, we're going to pray. Okay, so let's do that real quick. Again, right there on the screen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That is our main website. That's where you can go. You can subscribe to get your daily digest. If you go to our main website, you're going to see places on there where you can find everything out, the whole sum of our ministries right there on our main website at endtimeheadlines.org. EndTimeHeadlines.com. Again, we always want to encourage you to get our app. If you've not downloaded our app, it is, again, it's absolutely free. There's no charge to it. You can find it on an Android device. You can find it on an Apple device. Go to the Apple store. Go to the Android store. Just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official trademarked logo right there with ETH, End Time Headlines. Download that app. Get it into your hands. Get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as when you go to the bottom, you're going to see a place down there where you can catch all of our latest podcasts. Our videos are down there. The whole nine yards is right there. You can sign up for push notifications. You'll be notified when we break breaking stories or our latest podcast or anything like that is released. You're going to get all that information sent to you right there in your fingertips with the app. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If, of course, as always, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, it's encouraged you, it's informed you, it's equipped you, we want you to pray about becoming a partner and a supporter of our ministry. And listen, you can do that either one or two ways. You can give electronically by going to the app or going to our main website, and you can give electronically there, or you can give by check or money order, and you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, as always, guys, we thank you for coming onto the broadcast today, listening to this equipping message today. And right now, we want to pray for you guys. Listen, maybe you're watching this today, and you've got one of three pillars working for you, or two of four, or three or four. Maybe you got all four of them. Praise God. Or maybe you don't have any of these, or maybe you've started on them, but they're kind of faulty. They're kind of weak in certain areas. We want to pray right now. And listen, I want to include myself in this because we are all susceptible to this. We are all susceptible to this, and we hold each other and one another accountable because we all want a strong foundation. Because you know what? At the end of the day, we're all in this together. I know, and I'm not talking about the coronavirus. I'm so sick of hearing about all that stuff. I'm talking about we're the ecclesia, the body of Christ. So let's just pray about this right now. Father, I thank you today for this word that you have given me, put in my heart. I pray that as it went forth today, you said in your word that the word of the Lord will not return void, but it will go forth and it will equip and it will establish that what it's sent forth to do. I pray, Father, that we would receive this word today. Lord, help us to build strong pillars of praying, fasting, giving, and reading the word of God. Help us to establish these things. Help us to be rooted in these things. Help us to build a strong foundation of these things. Lord, when we're tempted in our flesh to turn on the television and waste an hour there, and nothing wrong with watching television, Lord, I don't believe that you condemn us. We don't want to get into legalism, but Lord, if we're going to spend an hour watching TV to fill up our soul, Lord, help us to at least spend equal time in your word, filling up our spirit man and feeding our spirit man. Lord, help us to set aside a time of day that we pray, we earnestly seek you, we get into your presence, we pursue your kingdom. Help us to do that and seek those things. Lord, help us to, Lord, I believe that you're dealing with this on levels of personal fasting and corporate fasting. Help us to participate in this, to push back a plate so that we can see a breakthrough, so that we can see deliverance, so that we can see things that we need that would never be unlocked in our lives lest it come by prayer and fasting. Help us to achieve this and accomplish this through the help of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to begin to get a deeper revelation of making a covenant with you in the area of our finances. God, I thank you, Father, for giving us personally, my family and I, this revelation that is, as we always honor you, you will always honor us. And Lord, your word even says that, that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You said the young lions therefore lack and hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall never hunger, never lack in any good thing. Lord, you said if we honor the Lord, the first fruits of our increase, you said our barns would be filled with plenty and our vats would burst forth with new wine. Lord, you said if we give, it will be given back unto us, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that we give, it shall be given back unto us. And Father, we thank you today for these principles, for these foundations, for these pillars in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people prayed, amen and amen. Guys, we're going to sign off for today. We will be off tomorrow. And as always, Lord willing, we'll be back on Wednesday. I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but we're going to get into what I feel like the Lord would have us to teach on, or maybe it's a prophetic word or an update, depending on how things are going. And we may discuss that, but nevertheless, we try to cover all angles here. So until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.